So Willie Taggart leaves Oregon, goes to Florida State after the Jimbo Fisher departure. And these are the ones that really fascinate me in college football, because you just had a big announcement a year ago. You just had your guy, right? Everything was great. I'm going to be here. I'm going to stay here. What, it's a great job. All the facilities. We found someone who's not going to leave. All of these things that you had with Willie Taggart at Oregon. And all of a sudden, boom, he's gone like that. Because at least, you think about Oregon. Wasn't that long ago that me and you were watching them play in a national championship game together at Jerry World?
Yeah.
And now they can't even keep a coach past a year that's on the hot list of coaches to take over certain jobs. So, you know, coaches could do whatever they want. And I don't tend to blame these guys. I think that the way that they leave and how they talk to their players and those things matter to me. But if they want to leave for a better job, they want to go somewhere else, they're allowed to do so. Do it with class. It's fine by me. But if you're Oregon, that's more interesting. Florida State, they got their guy. They targeted the guy. They got their guy.
Yeah.
If you're Oregon, what the hell are you thinking morning?
You're thinking that extenuating circumstances. And that's what occurred here. Willie Taggart's from Florida. And I'm sure their AD there, Mullins, he had to have known, Rob Mullins had to have known that Willie Taggart, almost to the day when he hired him a year ago, was going to be of interest to these Florida schools, whether it was UCF, whether it was Florida State, when there were openings there. And so Willie Taggart gets to go back to his home state. He's from Bradenton, Florida, of course, coached at USF. And now he gets to go back and be close to family. He just lost his father back in August, and he yearned to be back in Florida, even though he was having a great time. He was very supportive. Everyone was very supportive there at Oregon. He yearned to go back home, but not just for any job, for the right job. And I think this is the right job. And we're seeing today in big-time college football, especially with essentially one dude ruling the roost as far as representing these coaches, Jimmy Sexton. He's just playing one school up against another and getting all his clients these great jobs. And if his clients are being fired, they're getting paid handsomely to leave. And so here's another one that's moving, and I think it's going to be an excellent hire for Florida State. Willie Taggart, we saw what he did there at USF, turning that around. Prior to that, Western Kentucky, he turned the Hilltoppers around. They had won two ball games before he stepped on campus, and last couple of years he was there, they had won 14, and USF, 11 wins. He was there for 10 of them before he went to Oregon, and now he takes over at Florida State, and he's a heck of a recruiter. Well-renowned for his prowess there, so and knows that state. He had seven kids that were going up to Oregon this year, and they hadn't had three in the last 5 or 6 years, and had probably one of their best recruiting – it wasn't probably. They were having one of their best recruiting classes this season because of Willie Taggart.
Do you blame Oregon at all for not seeing this coming? Because if he's got that strong a ties to that area – and you had multiple openings at big-time places this year in Florida. Like, you had multiple ones. So if you're Oregon, you're thinking, okay, I mean, there's turnover in this game a million times. If he's got such strong ties and wants to be there so desperately, is this something that we need to think about of him being here for the long term?
One, which school would he go back to in Florida? You have the three big ones, Miami. Mark Richt just got there. He wasn't going anywhere. Florida, Jim McElwain has been there, what, 3 years? 2-3 years? He wasn't going anywhere.
Well, he did, though.
I understand that, but we're talking about a year ago.
Okay.
We're talking December 2016. They look like they're going to be there forever. They're entrenched in those programs.
You know better than anybody that things change like that
Jimbo
in college
Fisher,
football.
Jimbo Fisher, he brings a national title to Florida State. You're not thinking any of those programs are going to have an opening.
Yeah.
Florida, Mark Richt has just been, this is his second season.
All right, but that's the only
Jim
one.
Jim McElwain, he's got back-to-back trips to the SEC championship game. You didn't think they were going to fall apart this season.
But if there's anything more,
you didn't think there were going to be photos of him dry humping a shark. Did you?
More
you
like
could force you envisioned
humping.
That.
Yeah, I think that you need to know though how shaky the ground is.
I understand it. Why do you think they tried to extend him? They offered him a $20 million extension a month or so ago, and of course he didn't sign it because now you're seeing how shaky the ground is, and I'm sure his agent is saying, listen, just hold off on that because some other things may arise, and then you may be heading back home.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard for Rob Mullins and the folks there at Oregon to – it was difficult for them to envision that all – you know, any of those jobs would come open. Jimbo Fisher leaving Florida State? No. You didn't think that was going to – no one thought that would happen. Up until last week, no one thought Jimbo Fisher was leaving.
Yeah, well, but he did, and Jim McElwain was fired, and yes, the Miami situation is what it is, but – I think that when you know the landscape of college football, how quickly things change in it, and you're hiring someone across the country, you can't get farther than those two places. And you're thinking, all right, what if it doesn't happen this year? What if it happens in a couple of years?
Maybe a couple of years.
You got a guy who's tethered to Florida, you're telling me.
Okay.
Why'd you even hire him?
Okay, well, that's why you offered him an extension. You give him incentive to stay put. $20 million, that would
didn't
stay
work.
Put.
Didn't work.
Mark Charnow, Eric Spitz, 20 mil.
Yeah.
I'm staying put.
Right. Sure.
But
you know how that works. When home is home, money doesn't mean anything. So,
well, he's still getting paid.
He's still getting seven. Right, he's getting paid, but he could probably.
Right, yeah, if you can go home and you like the quality of life there and you can be closer to family, yes. That would move the needle, and that would be a deal breaker, even if they're offering you that much cash. Sometimes being close to home is not that good. So I probably want to be 3,000 miles away.
Well, it depends. I guess everybody's situation is different.
Of course.
But,
as I said, he just lost his father this past August, and so getting closer to the folks is ideal for him.
Yeah, and that's probably something that's in his mind. Like, I wasn't around for this particular thing. I'd like to be around for some of these other things, and it's easier on him mentally, and I don't blame him for that. I just think about if someone is that tied to a particular place that's that far away, it would give me pause. And I don't know, maybe they asked those questions. Maybe they did. Maybe they said, okay, hey, listen, we know things change very quickly in the coaching world in college football. What if this and this job open up in Florida? You just stick it around here. Can we trust you? And he might have said yes. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just... One year and you're
nowhere.
It's amazing to me that a guy after 1 year there at Oregon with those facilities and everything right there at your fingertips would be. I wonder how tough a decision it was for him. I really do. I'd love to hear candidly how that whole thing went down. Maybe he had a bad experience. I don't know. Maybe
no,
there were certain things there.
Everything was great. I haven't read anything or heard anything about there being a bad experience. They were there. You know, it started off poorly because you had these reports of the physical and mental training that was going on there, and you had a couple of players that had to be hospitalized, and these were guys who were on the periphery anyway, and talking to their former coach, Mark Helfer, when I heard the names of who were complaining, I considered a source. So, you got past that with his strength and conditioning program, and they were having a pretty good season. They lost their quarterback, Justin Herbert, and then they had a little slide there in the middle of the season. And then when they got him back, things were on the uptick. So he had all the support he needed. He had great facilities, and there was nothing to complain about for Willie Taggart and his staff there at Oregon. They gave him everything he needed. And now they're in the hunt for a new coach, and we'll see who they pluck. Kevin Sumlin's name has come up, of course, the former Texas A&M head coach, and maybe he's in the running. There's another reason why Bill Moose there at Nebraska, their new athletic director, wanted to lock up Scott Frost because his ties to the Oregon program. Remember, he was OC there for Helfrich before he took the UCF job.
What's a better job out of those two?
I would say Oregon, but... If the same situation as Taggart, mama calls, state of Florida called for Taggart. Scott Frost is from Nebraska, born there, played there, of course, won a national championship there. So mama called, and in his mind, that's the better job.
Mike Leach is the new name that is tied to every single opening now. It's just amazing how...
I knew he wasn't going to go to Tennessee. They didn't want Mike Leach. That doesn't play around there.
In what do you mean?
Because he's too quirky for those folks, and they'll not saying they got their noses in the air, but that just doesn't play everywhere. It'll play in Pullman, it'll play in Lubbock, Texas, until it didn't. It's just not that's not a good look for some of those programs.
Will it play at Oregon?
No,
it will not play at Oregon.
No,
do you think that would be a bad hire for them?
I would probably work as a football coach, but the personality. No, I'm not. I don't think that
in what way would turn off boosters in the sense that they wouldn't want to contribute. Even if, but if they win, you say it works in football. If they win, they're not going to care.
But there's still a lot of this is personality driven, and they don't want that type of personality there. I don't think he would be in the running for that job.
Well, of course, his name has surfaced. Yeah. Also, Mario Cristobal, whose name has been out there a lot with certain jobs.
He's going to hang on and be the interim coach at Oregon, and Jim Leverett apparently is going to, the defensive coordinator is going to go with Willie Taggart to Florida State.
Doesn't have some problems there, that Jim Leverett?
He has some problems at USF, some players complaining, but he has resurrected his.
Well, I'm talking about like defensively. Like, wasn't there a stretch there where he was giving
Florida
up his, no, his defensive, his problems, like they were terrible defensively.
At USF?
No, at Oregon.
Oh, at Oregon. Now, actually, they played well early on. He played a ton of young guys. In the secondary, they were having some problems. But as I said, when they lost that quarterback, that they really hit a wall. And you're down the stretch defensively, not so well.
Sumlin, Lane Kiffin, Jim McElwain, T. Martin, all guys that our buddy Barrett Salee has thrown into a column on CBSSports.com. So he has number one out of all of them, Mike Leach. That's what he has at number one. Number two, Mario Cristobal, Sumlin three. And, of course, T. Martin six. So nobody likes T. Martin.
Nobody.
You're the only guy in the world who likes T. Martin. It's amazing. What did he do to everybody?
I have no idea. What did you do, T? Come on, come clean.
Well, maybe he can get that South Alabama job that everybody wants him to get. Right? Everybody says that same thing. We had like three guests say the same thing. Well, maybe he can be a coach at South Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he can be a coordinator somewhere else. I mean, Josh Heupel has no head coaching experience, but he just got the UCF job.
I think he's going to end up getting the Tennessee job.
Who, Heupel?
No. No, T. Martin.
Well, reports that he and Phil Fulmer, a coach he played for, had a very lengthy and positive conversation.
No.
Yeah, it was very positive. Nothing negative was said.
Lengthy?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a short positive conversation.
12 and a half minutes.
Oh, get out of here.
I don't know.
Almost 13 minutes? That's incredible. Yeah, well, I bet you he ends up at Tennessee. And
T, if we extend the driveway named after you and make it a
parkway. Actually, now it's just a parking spot.
It's just
a single parking spot for him if he ever wants to come back. That's what it is.
If we extend the parking spot, will you take less money?
Oh, this is going to be a perfect question for Brian.
Why is it perfect for me?
Oh, read the topic.
And you're well-versed in this topic?
Yeah, but you're better at it.
You went to North Beltport.
Yeah, I know, but you're way better at it.
You drank Hennessy.
Well, I did. I did,
with my brothers.
Bet. Tyler in Oregon wants to talk about the racial side of Oregon football. So, Tyler, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, man?
Morning, guys.
Hey.
Big cloud looming over us this morning. Oh, no head coach. So, the thought is Oregon's kind of a white state. There's not a lot of black people here, you know? And with a young coach like Taggart, I mean, we loved him. Didn't hate to see him go, but what do you guys think about getting the young African-American up-and-coming coaches in a state where, I mean, his family just didn't want to be here, I don't think. I mean, there's just, it's not diverse enough for...
So you think, Tyler, if even with ties to Florida, if Oregon was more diverse, Willie Taggart would have stayed, do you think?
I think it had a lot to play into it, and which is why I'm concerned about Sumlin, just the fact that he may not be comfortable here.
Well, Sumlin's wife is Caucasian.
Let's be honest.
We don't say that anymore, Caucasian.
What would you say? White?
Yeah, white.
Just white?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, my
or,
bad.
Or crack ass cracker.
Crack ass cracker.
Don't say that about her.
No. What am I supposed to say?
I'm allowed to say it. You're not allowed to say it.
You can say crack ass cracker, but I can't.
That's the way that works.
Oh,
you,
okay.
You know, there's
so what is Coach Sumlin's wife?
It's reciprocal.
All right. So Sumlin's wife
is a white woman.
Oh, you can say white woman.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Yep. You just said crack ass cracker. Which one isn't it?
Well, it depends.
Tyler, what do you say? Do you say Caucasian? You say white woman? No. You say crack ass cracker?
White. Nobody says Caucasian.
Just says white. Caucasian. You're not white. Look at your skin.
Caucasian.
This is white.
Caucasian.
This is white.
Caucasian's like Negro. I'm serious.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, how about a wasp? White Anglo-Saxon Protestant?
I don't know that.
Oh, okay.
Just go with white.
Just go. But
just
this
like
is
you
white.
Say, go with black.
You're not white. Look at this. Look at this sheet of paper. This is white.
Okay.
And look at you.
Well, there's some.
You're not white. You're colored. You guys are the real colored ones.
Can I claim that on my taxes?
Yes. That's not going to help on your taxes.
Yo,
how does that help?
I don't know.
Okay, Tyler. See what you started?
I think it's a valid question. I mean.
No, you know what?
Really?
No, this is a great question, and the lack of diversity, I don't know if that plays a part into it. You go to a lot of these college towns, there's not a whole bunch of diversity, but do you not think there were black coaches that wanted to be in the running for the job at Arkansas, in the job at Mississippi State? Now, those aren't beacons of diversity. There are a ton of towns like that. So I understand that. You know, going to Tallahassee, you have Florida State, of course, and you have FAMU that's right there. So a huge black community there in Tallahassee. And I don't. That wouldn't be a deterrent for me at Oregon. It would not.
Yeah.
I'm here to coach football, and I'm going to have a team that's 65-70% black. And so, you know, that gives me a little diversity. But Portland, how about Portland? I think Portland's a little bit more diverse, of course, than Eugene, isn't it?
Yeah, much.
Yeah.
Much more.
Hey, Tyler, who do you want to be the coach?
Who do I want to be the
coach?
A brother.
I want someone that's going to come in and stay. And you know, I would rather have kids that want to, you know, be there, want to work hard, want to have an education.
Well, give me a name. I mean, you're a sports fan. We all know how this goes. You've been seeing the names out there. Give me the name that you would be most happy with.
Yep. Probably Kevin Sutherland.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Jim Tefford's name has been mentioned. Of course, he was a former Cal coach, fired. He's come back in a big way at Fresno State. Would you be interested in Jim Tefford?
I'm actually
Jeff Tefford. I'm sorry,
Jeff,
I called him Jim.
Right? Yeah,
Jeff
Tefford. I'm more opposed to the whole. Tedford's been at California. He mm-hmm. was. I mean, he was an offensive coordinator at Oregon for a long, long time ago. I'm more opposed to having coaches in the same conference. Swapping around, being mm-hmm. around the same area, rather having new blood come in. So,
gotcha.
I mean, not really a Tedford guy.
Cool.
All right, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
I just realized, I think Tyler was making a joke about Mikey B when he said there's a real fog over Oregon right now because we don't have a coach. I think he was doing that. I just thought of that.
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm sorry that went over my head at first.
It did.
There, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, we got it all wrapped up into the racial, jargon,
right,
if you will. So,
yes,
I thank you for educating me. I wasn't I didn't know Caucasian was like Negro.
We're off of Caucasian now.
Yeah.
We're off of that.
Huh.
Yeah, everybody agree with that? Everybody, we're off of Caucasian?
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, here. Yeah. You,
Caucasian,
off
wasp.
You're off of Caucasian.
None of that.
Yeah.
None of that.
No, wasps too. No good.
No wasps.
No.
But cracker at cracker, you can say.
That was a joke.
Oh, you were joking. Yeah, see? I don't know when you're joking.
That was. Yeah, I thought it was pretty obvious. But
no.
I don't know.
I was going to go with it. I was going to run. I was going to run out in the hallway and say, hey, what's happening, co-workers?
Well, in that case, I wasn't kidding.
Oh,
go ahead
okay.
and do that. See?
All right. HR's not here yet, are they?
No. Have you seen, by the way, speaking of like employees here and stuff, have you seen what they've done to sales next door here, like right over in that? There was a guy, I was talking to a sales guy yesterday. He described it perfectly. He said, it looks like a Bangladesh call center. I mean, what they've done in there, it is just a giant room with a gazillion cubicles and a bunch of people just sitting there on the phone. it is scary over there, man.
Like, it is really scary. I don't want to ever be in sales.
Maybe we can get the proper help now when we call customer service, right?
Yeah, right. coming up next, what if our security guard and friend, Coop, got a head coaching job in college football? What would that sound like? Coming right back.
Hey, you may or may not be an athlete, but I still know that pain or anybody having pain is a real bummer, regardless of your vocation or age. Know this, Relief Factor is not just for athletes or retired athletes like me. Brian Jones here, and for the first time ever, I'm endorsing a pain reliever that is 100% drug-free. For the first time ever, I'm endorsing a pain reliever, period. But I love the fact that it's 100% drug-free. That's so important to me, and I know it is to you. And no, just because I'm a retired football player with aches, pains that, quite frankly, I deserve because what I put my body through doesn't mean you can't lower or even eliminate your pain as well. Back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, knee, or foot pain can keep you from walking, sleeping through the night, golfing, playing tennis, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. The good news is this. Relief Factor makes available a 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than $1 a day. Go to relieffactor.com to order right now. That's relieffactor.com.
You're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Guys, two nights ago, the Wizards scored just 69 points as a team in Utah. Last night, Bradley Beal almost beat that by himself.
30 seconds left. Oubre is able to swipe it away. Ahead to Bradley Beal. Slam! Joannes! Oubre swiped it away from C.J. McCollum. Beal, the slam! That's the exclamation mark. 51 points!
Dave Johnson, Wizards Radio. A career-high 51 for Beal. The most points ever scored by a visitor in Portland, Washington, winning 106-92. The Thunder beat the Jazz 194 after trailing by 17 in the third. Third straight win for OKC. 34 points, 13 rebounds, 14 assists for Russell Westbrook. And the Raptors outscored the Suns 126-113. 20 points apiece for Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Devin Booker carried off the floor in the final minutes after suffering an apparent groin injury. Steph Curry will miss at least 2 weeks with the right ankle injury suffered Monday night in New Orleans, but an MRI showed no structural damage. And Kristaps Porzingis should play tonight for the Knicks against the Grizzlies. He's been out with an ankle injury, and he's been sick. College Hoops, top-ranked Duke smacking St. Francis of Pennsylvania, 124-67. Number 3, Michigan State, fun off Rutgers, 62-52. And number 4, Villanova, too much for number 12, Gonzaga, at the Jimmy V Classic at MSG.
Now eventually Tilly gets it in the low blocks. Working on Bridges. Blocked by Bridges and brought down by Bridges. Ahead to DiVincenzo. Bounce pass to Brunson. And he finishes in transition for the Cats.
Timeout. Timeout. Mark Few. What a play by Bridges at both ends of the floor.
Ryan Fannin and Whitey or Caucasian-y Rigsby on the Villanova Sports Network.
Did you see Bridges' dunk?
No.
Bridges' dunk?
Yeah,
no.
The dunk came right before that block.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And how about Mo Bamba's dunk last night?
Oh, yeah. I did see that one, actually. Yeah. That one made its way around Twitter, and I saw that video.
Almost lost.
I did not see Bridges' dunk, though. However.
Should have.
All right. Caucasian update anchor. Go for it. No, finish the update.
Gonzaga 88-72. Ball State stunning 9th-ranked Notre Dame in South Bend 80-77. And Arizona took down number 7 Texas A&M in Phoenix 67-64. As you were just discussing, Willie Taggart leaving Oregon after one season to replace Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. Georgia defensive coordinator Mel Tucker and Auburn DC Kevin Steele were to interview for a second time yesterday with Phil Fulmer for the Tennessee job.
Why are you snickering over there?
Kevin Steele, come on. Really?
Tisk, tisk.
Come on.
Is that Phil's brother?
No.
Is that how he knows so much about college football? That Phil Steele? So. No?
I don't think so.
Rob Gronkowski and Steelers receiver Juju Smith-Schuster will definitely miss Week 14 after their one-game suspensions were upheld on appeal yesterday. Bengals safety Georgia Loka's appeal still pending. All three punished for illegal hits. And on ice last night, history in Los Angeles.
Off the draw in the slot, shot, score! Marion Gaborik right off the draw, and his 400th NHL goal.
Marion Gaborik, the 94th player in history to score 400 goals. It was his second tally of the night. The highlight from Nick Nixon on Kings Radio. LA winning at 6 straight, 5-2 over Minnesota. Greg?
All right, Bogus, hang out for a second because I think you want to hear
Bogus,
this.
Hang on.
So don't run out of here like you usually do back to
I know.
The friendly confines of the newsroom and the rest of the Caucasians that work here.
There's a lot of them.
When I was listening to Herm Edwards yesterday, I was like, imagine if Coop was in the same situation as Herm and he had to be introduced as a head football coach and have a press conference. So Mikey B diligently, and Coop is his security guard downstairs. We have Make Picks, who is a very funny-sounding individual. So Mikey B diligently put this together yesterday. You're going to hear the introduction from the AD and then the question part of the press conference with our buddy Coop.
I am proud to represent ASU Athletics in announcing
security guard Coop
as our new head football coach and indeed the conductor of this train.
No. Hey, ask everybody. Oh, you know, you into baseball.
Coach Tim Ring, CBS Sports here in town. Ray, last night in the statement referred to you as a CEO. Your role will be different, what you're doing, what you're not doing, compared to the way it's always been done.
I don't know. I don't want to get involved with that.
Can you just speak to how much thought you've put into what needs to happen organizationally and the conversations with Ray and Dr. Crow?
I'll deal with that later on.
Yes, Jeff Metcalf, Arizona Republic. Some coaches would not want to come into a place where there may be assistant coaches that are already retained. Can you talk about that?
But not him. Step. Let it go. Enjoy your family. Take him to Hollywood. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the fruit. Don't worry about it.
My name is Phil Lasp, and I'm with KJZZ, the NPR station here. We occasionally cover sports. You talked about the fact that this is maybe more than a football hire. Do you feel that way?
To me, it's a bad idea. Give me a break. I'm going from sugar to an S. I ain't going to say no one more word. From sugar to I ain't going to say it.
I'm Darius Gates.
I'm AJ Kerr.
The Sports Spectators. Are you interested in sports?
It's good.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
The Sports Spectators were there. They were there asking questions.
That's where they've gone. Desert.
Oh, man.
It's just unbelievable. Good job, Mike.
That's too funny.
His picture. And if you know what he looks like, and we've tweeted out pictures of Coop before, but if you know what he looks like, too, with his little jacket on up there behind the podium, you visualize that. It's even funnier.
Would he be sitting behind the podium?
Somebody got to lose a weight.
Yes.
He's sitting asleep.
Yeah. He was dead asleep this morning.
Oh.
I sat there. When I came in, I stood and I looked at him to see how asleep he was, you know, and he was out. I mean, and then I hit the key card and it kind of woke him up and startled him a little bit.
Wow.
And that, by the way, that little clip when we had the AD, it wasn't even Ray. It was maybe the president. I don't know. It wasn't Ray Anderson.
No, it was Ray Anderson.
It was Ray Anderson?
Yeah,
okay.
I believe it was.
So with that clip of Ray Anderson, you heard the insertion of security guard Coop cameo from Calhoun. That's who that was. Little Calhoun cameo.
Yeah, got him to talk.
Yeah.
All the way.
Security guard Coop.
All the way.
All the way. Okay, so there you have it. Pete Bellotti just said something that I've never heard before in my life in the break. So he's coughing in the control room. Mm-hmm. You know, he's giving him one of those.
Yeah.
So I said, Pete, you all right, man? Are you coming down with something? He goes, yeah, I'm not feeling well today. I think I'm coming down with something. So I said, might be the flu. So what do you think the response would be? Let's just have, I think you're the only one who didn't hear this.
Spreading.
Yeah, right. So if I said to you,
can I leave yet?
Might be the flu, right? With your sneeze. What would your reaction be?
Hope not.
Right.
Or I probably need to get a flu shot, but I hope not.
Hope not.
Yeah.
Exactly what I was hoping you would say, right? Pete, in no uncertain terms, said, I hope so. He goes, I hope it's the flu.
Why? What's wrong with you, miserable person?
Why would you say that?
Clearly for content.
No, stop. No, you didn't. Come on. I hope it's the flu. There was a reason why you had that instantaneous reaction of hope so.
Because I've never gotten a flu shot, and this would be the time I get it.
Okay.
Right near Christmas, and I would feel great heading into the holidays.
So it was a sarcastic hope so.
Yes.
All right. Oh. Scaring me there,
it did
man.
Not feel sarcastic to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I know. It was like, hope so. Yeah.
Didn't read that through the phlegm, that's all.
That's weak.
It sounded like you wanted the flu so you could feel worse about everything. Like you were
yeah,
like,
you could
you know,
feel hold.
Like I was the worst. I want to feel as bad as I possibly can feel. So the flu would help me with that.
No, that's not what I was thinking.
All right. Okay. I don't know if I believe you. By the way, I don't normally get the flu shot. Got the flu shot this year. Apparently, it doesn't work.
Told you don't do it. Told ya.
Have you seen this?
Told you don't do it.
Flu shot is only like 10% effective or something like that.
The placebo effect helps, though. Your body thinks you got the flu shot.
Oh, bull crap. The placebo effect. Here it is. This year's flu vaccine may only be 10% effective, experts warn.
10's better than zero, Greg.
Yep.
Well, what's the point?
And again, stop listening and reading and watching to the mainstream media. That's your first problem.
Oh, jeez.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just filling your head with nonsense about science.
Okay.
Yeah, they have no idea what they're talking about.
Okay,
that's why
so
I don't watch.
Am I the only one that got the flu shot here?
I got it.
You got the flu shot. Did you get a flu shot?
I mean, theoretically, I'm going to get it. Well, I just haven't gotten it yet.
So that means no, you
you're
have
not. You're
not
going to get it now if it's a cruddy flu shot.
Again, 10's better than zero.
So you're still going to get the flu shot?
If I can remember, yeah.
Okay. You were one of the guys that you got to get the flu shot.
I mean, you should. I was actually waiting for it to be offered here, but I think that has fallen through the cracks in our
I did not get
transition.
Look at Pete's laughing. Why are you laughing at that, Pete?
Flu shot here?
Well, it happened every year before this year.
Yeah, I think they canceled that this year.
I don't know.
I'm being serious, actually.
They canceled the flu
shot?
Well,
the last email I remember said, we'll figure it out shortly.
Well, I'll tell you, I would cancel the flu shot if I were them, too. 10% effective. Bull crap flu shot, that is.
Right.
Are they going to get a new one now? Is that how that works?
No, you can't.
You can't get a new one?
No. That's
how
it.
Are they
that's
that
all
bad?
We got.
You can't double up on it?
I don't think you can take two, no.
Mm. How are you that
told
bad
you
with the flu shot?
Not to waste your time. Nope, y'all wouldn't listen.
Yeah,
told
I know.
You don't waste
I should have listened,
man.
Nope. I should have listened to you.
Doesn't work.
So far, I've been healthy. I don't know. I was in that control room with Pete coughing, though, now. So I think I'm done.
Yeah, now you're going to be miserable.
I apologize.
First man ever to want the flu. He wants the flu.
I still don't buy the sarcasm defense. You want the flu.
He does. You definitely want the flu. You want the flu so you can stay home for a while.
You miss work.
Right. It's right before the holidays, so you have some time to relax. You can maybe milk another day out of the flu.
No, he just wants to be miserable.
He just wants to feel as bad.
He needs a new battle.
And the flu is that thing?
Yep.
That he just hopes so. I've honestly never heard that. Might be the flu. Hope so. Fingers crossed for the flu. I want 104 fever. Yeah, I want the aches, the pains, the chills. I don't want to sleep at night. Like, I might even want an IV in the hospital.
I want it all.
Give it to me. The more, the better. All right. Coming up next, the NBA. Fighting. Ejections. There's a lot of it. Does Brian like it or hate it? Coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brian tries to find reasons to dislike today's NBA.
No, I do not.
You search for those reasons.
That is so untrue.
You always go back to the nostalgia stuff.
That is so untrue.
Jordan wouldn't do that.
I am not trying to find reasons. I'm merely pointing out differences and errors.
Okay. What I used to watch. They play defense.
They used to fight too.
They don't play defense now.
My lip jut out like that, or my jaw.
Yeah. Look, no defense. No defense. Look at those books. I didn't see them carry nobody off the court like you did Devin Booker last night. They don't make them like they used to.
You hurt your groin, and you just dealt with it. You rub some dirt on it. Or some sweat off the court.
That's right.
And you were fine.
They didn't rest. They played all the games.
And the sneakers used to make this great noise. And sneakers don't even make the noise anymore. I mean, come on.
See, there you go. That's looking for reasons.
How do you know you're going to have grip when you get out there?
So, I present you this, Brian Jones.
We'll get to presenting.
Here it is, my presentation. It's all these ejections. It's the arguing amongst top players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You had a Boogie Cousins, Kevin Durant kerfuffle, as you like to say, fracas of sorts. So, and then the refs, by the way, are just there. They put their foot down this year.
Yeah.
Throwing people out. Anthony Davis.
Headbutting them. Yeah.
LeBron's getting thrown out. It's getting crazy. So, is this part of the argument against today's NBA for you? Or does it tell you that, hey, you know, look, these guys, they don't like each other. I didn't like the buddy-buddy stuff. Now, I mean, I'm starting to see more of that. Regular season's got some juice. I mean, where are you on this? I need to know.
I'm fine with this. And it seems as though Kevin Durant in particular has really put on the heel hat. He's not getting
even
along.
More so. I mean, he had on last year. He put on another one.
He's not getting along with anyone, and I'm fine with it. And we've seen in the past, during when I was growing up watching the game, you had teams that didn't particularly like each other, and you knew there were going to be fisticuffs once these teams hooked up, and you're seeing that now.
What would be a good song to play under Brian when he starts to reminisce about the NBA? Like, what would be a good, like, nostalgic song? Like, I feel like there's got to be.
We Are Family?
No. I know that would be like that era, but it has to sound like something like really, really old. You know?
It's got to be really, really
old. Oh, yeah, because it's all the old reminiscing. I'll think about that.
You think about that. Yeah. But I have no problem with that, and I'm fine with that. And as far as the health and the popularity of the league, yeah, it's great. Like a lot of different leagues, because you get to see everyone every night. We only got games every now and then when I was growing up, and so it was always a big event. But now you see any team you want, and you get the highlights of any team you want. We get any damn highlights. You know, Warner Wolf every morning would give you some highlights on the CBS morning show, but that was it.
Yeah. Right. It's old nostalgia, Brian, with the NBA. It can never be good again.
It can be good. I didn't say it's not good. I'm just partial to back when I was watching it.
You know, when I watch the NBA, guys cared. They didn't make millions of dollars all the time.
Cam Calloway? What is that?
Yeah, that's right.
He went back to the 20s, the roaring 20s?
Yeah, I used to have to sit on the street corner with a cup during the Great Depression.
Who won last night?
We'd yell
Hold
down.
Hold on, let me look in the paper.
Paper? We didn't have papers. I used to just yell out and hopefully somebody would answer us. That's the way things were. There's nobody better than Scottie Pippen. He did it all, man. He did it all. Guys didn't like each other.
Ray, we could say his name now. His antidote, tuta, tuta.
Yeah, who are these people? Or someone from Greece?
Someone Jordan?
Who wants to watch
Irving.
A? Who wants to watch a Greek play basketball?
You got all these foreigners out here.
The only thing
taking up space, taking up jobs.
The only thing I've ever seen a Greek do is sit on a corner and sip coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Spanish garçon.
Spaniards.
I just want some gas.
Spaniards are in the NBA now.
Come on.
Well, you go be a conquistador somewhere and leave our sport alone.
Go bullfight or something.
There's even a that's a good one. That's a good song. There's even a like a slower one. It's one I used to play when this guy would call up, this 90-year-old guy would call up in Pittsburgh, and I forget the name of it, but it's a Benny Goodman song. It just sounded so perfect, like a reminiscing thing. I could try to check it out in a break, but see, I think you resist your NBA love. I think you would just be.
I like the NBA. I enjoyed watching the finals last week.
If you, it's a professional.
They had the finals already. That was a short season.
You look at the NBA as an obligation.
Well, you would too if you were me and you saw those 90s Bulls.
I missed the tight shorts.
We had guys named Tiny Archibald. And now look at the names of these guys. Lonzo.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
We used to have Alonzo's, but Lonzo.
I mean, we had Sticky Lou.
Sticky Lou Jackson.
Yeah. You don't even sticky.
Man,
you got sticky fingers these days.
All these guys would do is play basketball and have sex. That was it.
That's it.
Will Chamberlain.
Do a bump every now and then.
And I've heard of Lou Jackson.
That's that. Come on. They kept it real.
Mikey B's least favorite thing that you do is poo-poo the NBA today.
I'm not poo-pooing the NBA.
Oh, you're a poo-pooer. You're definitely a poo-poo. You got poo-poo everywhere.
Yeah, poo-poo platter for you.
Yeah, you definitely
That's pretty good.
A poo-poo platter. You definitely have.
At Trader Vic's.
I mean, other than completely disrespecting you and screaming curse words at you every morning, is the
this
NBA...
This is worse.
This is worse, yeah.
Yeah, this is right to my heart.
When was the last time I derided the NBA?
Last time we talked about it.
Mikey B, that's a lie.
Word rest.
That, I'm going to always be against that, this rest thing. Come on. You should be too. You don't get any rest.
What?
Do you? No.
I wasn't paying attention.
They had a technical situation in there just happened. So Pete lost his computer, so they had to figure that out. So he was, that's why I wasn't paying attention.
To be honest.
Yeah. So. They have to figure that out. We can no longer engage with them as they figure. See you guys. We'll be in here.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
All right. Thanks.
The only problem I have with the NBA is the whole rest thing. That's it. And yes, we got into a tip and tip about
this
better. The players today are better than the players were back then. And I'm making up stuff that I didn't see when I actually saw it. And I have my beliefs and you have yours. And we're never going to come to an agreement on it. So we agree to disagree.
Well,
nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I'm not as disrespectful about years gone by as you are. About today's NBA.
I am not being disrespectful. You were. And then your sidekick had to run in here showing me the standings from 1985 and talking about
the bad teams. You're my sidekick.
Well, your spokesperson. How about that?
No, I was kidding. That was supposed to be an insult to you, and you were supposed to get mad at me. It didn't work that way.
I don't get mad at you.
You weren't supposed to agree with me. You were supposed to get mad. Who, bogus, you were saying?
Yeah.
Well, you were making
standings.
Dumb points.
That was not a dumb point.
It
you
was.
Can have bad teams and still have great players.
But your point was that it was more competitive back then, and it was
it
not.
It was.
No, it wasn't. See, where we went through that.
No, it was.
No, we went through it was disproved.
Have you watched a game this year?
It was. Yes. Wait, stop that.
I know you're
man,
too
let
well.
Let me get the lie out first.
I know you too well, man. I swear.
Gladys
needs a tip on when you're telling the truth or not. I can give her a couple.
Can I get the lie out first before you start laughing? You're supposed to laugh right in the middle of it.
Yes. You see the game that you're...
Yes.
Indeed, I have.
Yeah. Any more questions, Your Honor? Yeah.
So now what? But I've given you that fact.
Okay. No more tough questions. I thought we could talk to them.
Well,
I thought you were dealing with an issue.
Well, Pete's figuring it out.
All right.
Pete's working on it.
No, Mike. I am not.
Okay. So there you go. You still hate on it.
I don't hate on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen
you
portions
would love
of
it.
Games.
You would love it.
Portions.
You would be all in. All it's a great it's really at its pinnacle right now. It is. I really do believe that. I'm not kidding.
Fun.
I think that the NBA is
great. It's fun.
Out of all the leagues right now that we talk about the most, it is the healthiest out of all.
I would agree with that. 100%.
Okay,
yes.
Good. All right, good.
I'm with you there.
Wow, only took that. Well, all right.
I'm with you. It's in a good place.
It's in a great place.
Superstars in a few places. Yeah, it's good.
Would be a few places. When I used to watch, wow, there was a superstar in every city.
Yep.
There were superstars coming off the bench.
Yep.
Actually, they didn't even have benches.
Nope. They just played with five. Right. No, 48 minutes.
They'd sit on tacks until they were called into the game to toughen them up. That's what they do. Coming up next, NFL head coach coaching carousel. It's going to be ugly. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.